Our first item is zoning agreement amendment, lot 2/3, two-thirds plan, 45753 Pegwas Street, /ZAA11/2014.
Okay. I have the applicant registered, Justin Zarnowski, and will two other people be coming down with you as well, or just you? Okay.
Just state your name and address.
It's Justin Zarnowski at 1355 Taylor Avenue, Suite 200.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So the reason we're here today is we're seeking an amendment to the zoning agreement direction that council provided related to our development at Reindeers and Pegwas. Originally, the concern was and remains that there's a residential single-family homes that front onto our north property line. At the hearing for the DASZ application, the decision was ultimately made that within 150 feet of the property line, which abuts onto those residential uses, that the height of the buildings for our development would be restricted to 25 feet. Ultimately, upon our canvassing with potential tenants and users for the site, we determined that that would be a significant restriction on our ability to provide a first-class amenity for Transcona, not only for the existing residents, but also all of the new residents that are contemplated as part of the other developments that are occurring within that area and the ones proposed as well. So we decided to seek this amendment so as to allow us to effectively have a bold development, something where we could actually have not just, you know, these a little box, but something that, you know, not only we could be proud of, our tenants could be proud of, but also something that the residents would find to be a more attractive amenity than a simple 25-foot box. Further, we, in the interest of defraying our costs, as part of this application, we're required to extend Almy, or rather extend Reindeers to permit the closing of Almy, and incur substantial costs in terms of infrastructure in the area. And in an effort to recover some of our costs, we're seeking to have the spaces maximized to the extent possible, to use mezzanines or other interesting density in the area so that we can actually have not only the retail jobs but also the density to encourage office or those types of uses, such that we're providing not only a better tax base, a better revenue stream for our development, but also jobs for Transcona. And this is the kind of thing you're seeing more and more. At our development at Polo Park, we were actually approached by Target, the who are putting in their store, and they said, you know, we need a regional office, and it just makes sense to have it co-located with one of our stores. It wasn't the kind of concept we thought about a whole lot before, but it's the kind of thing where if we can have, extra density, those kind of good-paying office jobs in Transcona, it's certainly something we would like to see, and I think something that's in the benefit of the neighborhood. So what we're asking for is to have the zoning agreement conditions amended, or rather directed to be amended, to have them be up to a maximum of 65 feet to allow us to have that a bold option for not just, you know, the small box, but something that's actually exciting and different that we feel would be befitting of the area and the improvements and just the character. Ultimately, what we're asking for is a maximum here. We have a site plan approval condition whereby any proposed development will have to come forward in front of this community committee, be reviewed by the administration, and ultimately we're prepared to engage in that planning process whereby we'll consider the impacts as part of the site plan approval for the specific proposals that we come forward with. ultimately, might it end up being a standard development? It's what the market dictates, but we want to have the flexibility to do something exciting here. Thank you.
Any questions, sir?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Also in support, Michael Stronger, did you wish to speak? And I'll also call up the next name, which is Kaylee Balgar. You're not going to speak? Okay, thank you.
Michael Stronger from 200-1355 Taylor. Just briefly wanted to add one thing to what Justin was saying, just with respect to the target at the former stadium lands. That is an example of densification where, in order to make sense of the development with the high land costs and all the infrastructure costs associated with it, it was necessary for the tenant to actually have parking below the building at grade, which of course pushed up the height of the building substantially. But it allows for a much different and more attractive architecture, actually, and for more density on the site, which means more taxes coming to the city in the future. So there's an example where you needed you have the same amount of retail, but in a smaller amount of land, but you do need that extra height to accommodate it. Just an example of covered parking at grade.
Questions, sir?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who is in support whose name has not been called? Seeing none, I'll move on to those in opposition. Glenn Cook.
Hello.
My name is Glenn Cook. I live at 366 Elmy. I'm in opposition of the proposed changes. I had opportunity to participate in development planning exercises with this committee, not these members of council, previous members. I've lived at the location since 1997. And at that time, Shindico had proposed making changes to the lot behind us then to move Home Depot in there. So with respect to the current proposed changes, my personal opinions are that the existing conditions on the C4 development is consistent with the rest of the development in the area. This is not Polo Park. We do have single family homes, which is different than the Polo Park situation. The requirements for the proposed changes are well outside of the rest of the other commercial activities in and around this shopping center. For and any others other than I was unaware that the Polo Park had made those significant changes. There is no need, I guess, from my perspective, to develop this high, well above the tree line. From my perspective, we have trees in our back 40 that we use actually to try to create a buffer towards the Kildon in Place, and that trees would have provided the necessary buffer, or at least our own personal buffer, to the 25-foot development, now a significant higher one, just does not make sense for a neighborhood community like ours. And I guess well above the tree line. That's all I had to say. My colleagues have other things to say. Any questions for me?
No.
Thanks, Glenn. Good seeing you again. Thank you.
David Coleman and Christine Protowski. If you wanted to make your way down.
Hi, I'm David Coleman. I live at 356 Almy. Thank you for this opportunity to speak at this community committee public hearing. I wish to express my opposition to the project and the proposed zoning agreement amendment to increase the maximum building height by any amount. We were told at the developer's open house that they're proposing a retail shopping center similar to a strip mall. and now they're proposing a multi-story retail and office development. This is unacceptable. If this proposed building height increase is approved, this will be a very significant and large development, commercial development, that will negatively impact the neighboring residential properties in terms of privacy, security, blocking sunlight, reducing property values, aesthetics, and increased noise. I have a petition on behalf of the residents of Almia I wish to submit. The petition is signed by all but one of the residents directly abutting the proposed development and a number of other residents along Almia Avenue that we were able to reach in a short amount of time since the public notice was placed in the Free Press on the July 1st long weekend. The one residents abutting this development we didn't sign because we weren't able to get in contact with them. The petition requests the city not amend this condition 2.A.5 of Council's December 11th, 2013 minutes, which reads as follows: the maximum building height on proposed lots 1 and 3 shall be limited to 25 feet, excluding architectural enhancements, where said buildings are located with 150 feet of the north property line. Should there be any increase to that maximum building height, we, the residents of Almia Avenue, petition the City of Winnipeg to reestablish the zoning bylaw requirement that the buildings, principal buildings, must be located 125 feet from the zoning district boundary of any residential zoning district. And that's in the zoning bylaw reference table 5-5, note D. I have a second petition on behalf of the residents of Almia I wish to submit. It is understood to inform of a public hearing. The city may either post a sign, place a notice in the newspaper, deliver notices, or any combination thereof. Many of the residents in Almy want to ensure that any future public notices and hearings concerning this development are communicated to them. So the second petition just requests that all future notices of hearings concerning that development, that there's a sign at each end of Almy. The advertisement is done in the newspaper, and also notices are done by mail. Thank you for this opportunity to express our concerns. And I got these petitions for you.
How close is your home to the property line?
Top of my head, maybe.
It's a pretty deep lot, though, right?
It's a deeper lot. I don't know the exact distance.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Coleman.
Christine?
Good evening. My name is Christine Petrowski. I live at 360 Elmay Avenue, and I am in opposition to the zoning agreement amendment, file ZAA-1114. I wish to raise two issues in my presentation. One, the reasons for objecting to this proposal, and number two, clarification of some of the agreement conditions affecting the proposal. I wasn't able to attend the other meetings as I was looking after my mom 24/7, and since she's passed on, I've gotten back into representing my interests, my property. One reason for objecting to this amendment, as I found out this afternoon, was that the proposal is that the building height is to accommodate a grocery store. Now, currently in our area, we have Costco, we've got Sobeys, Safeway, Superstore, and the Walmart grocery section. We don't need another grocery store. And raising the height of the building usually means more occupancy, which means more traffic congestion and air pollution. This is country living in the city for us, and this is why we purchased our properties in this area. Another reason for objecting to this amendment is that the residential character of our area will be affected and reflected in the decrease in property values. Now, when Home Depot was trying to build behind us, several of the residents had inquired about property values and were told that they decreased anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000. at that time. When we bought our properties, it was for the purpose of being able to subdivide. We are now landlocked and are losing out on our potential for financial gains. Now, the main reason for my objection is the possibility and probability of the land drainage from this area affecting my property. In the last couple of years, we have had water flooding out, ironically, the three of our properties standing in the back. Now, this is why where I need clarification of the agreement conditions. On page 2 of the council meeting, minutes rather, for December the 11th, and I'll read that. It says the developer shall construct wastewater sewers required, shall construct all water mains required to serve the planned area, and construct all land drainage sewers. And further down, it says, consistent with the development agreement parameters, the city shall endeavor to recover a cost share of the above land drainage works that are deemed to benefit adjacent privately owned lands as a condition of approval of a subdivision or rezoning application on those lands. My question is, I'm the adjacent private landowner. Am I going to be taxed for some of these improvements? That's a big concern for me. I don't benefit from this. The developer does, by putting in all the things that he needs. The other is on page 6, which is item 15, and it refers to items B1, C8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, which really refers to the construction of roads, traffic lights, etc., etc. The original proposal was that Reinders would be extended to Peguis and Elmy was supposed to be closed at Ravelston only if the developer was able to build his Kildonan Mile strip mall. The residents on Elmy wanted closure on the street because of the high volume of traffic going into Transcona and Costco. My concern is that if we're having Elmy closed, is it a benefit to us that the developer has to make all those improvements, push through Reinders, put in the traffic lights, put in the boulevards, et cetera, et cetera? So is the closure of Elmy a benefit to us, and are we expected to pay the developer? Because on page 6, item 15, the city shall reimburse the developer for a share of the works identified in clauses B1, C, et cetera, above, when it collects from other benefiting lands in accordance with the city's development agreement parameters prevailing at the time of reimbursement. Now, are they saying that we are now benefiting, that Elmay is going to be closed, so you have to share in the costs that we have to put out to put through Reinders? And the other point was the city, within 6 years through the City of Winnipeg capital budget, refund the developer the non-developer's responsible share of the said improvements in Reinders Drive and said traffic lights unless paid for or refunded by other parties. Are we the other parties? Are we benefiting from anything? Are we subject, or will we be subject, to any local improvement taxes or any overall area improvement taxes, and will we have to share in all of this? And just a last concern was when you were talking about underground parking, if that means jeez, never been beeped at before.
Beeps at us all the time.
Yeah, I've been watching this. lost my train of thought.
No, that's right.
Underground parking.
Oh, the will they have to put in pilings for the underground parking? And if so, that's going to create noise pollution. I'm just afraid, too, because some of us still use well water for, you know, the gardens, etc. And simplistically, I'm just wondering if the pounding of the piles is going to do any damage to any of our homes or buildings that are on our properties. And the final request is, can we have these meetings someplace where parking is more accessible? I just spent half an hour trying to find a parking spot, and now I can't remember where I parked the car. Any questions?
We'll help you find your car.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't have any questions, though, Christine, though the applicant will have a chance to respond, and hopefully we can address some of your questions from the public service, too, because I think there's answers to a lot of your questions. So.
Because, I mean, that is a big concern. Like, I don't understand if we are supposedly benefiting from all of this. I know we aren't. And I know when we fought against Home Depot because they wanted also to build a grocery store, mm-hmm. and then we found out, oh, by the way, we want to put in a gas bar. Mm-hmm. When we fought them, we said, look, there's other areas that are more suitable for what you want. And aren't they grateful that they moved to where the superstore is, Walmart and Home Depot? I mean, that parking lot is just full all the time. I don't think that area behind us would have accommodated all that.
Yeah. No. Okay. No, good points. Thank you very much for coming.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to this application whose name has not been called? Seeing none, if the applicant would like to come back.
So we understand the concern about the significant infrastructure costs that are being incurred in the area. Ultimately, at least on an upfront basis, we're the ones incurring them. The intention on any of the land drainage that's being put in terms of benefiting owners, is the properties on Rangers. So it's not the system that we're putting in may be required to benefit the Olive Garden, the car wash, and the storage bill. But it's not, in terms of the legal requirement, you're not the benefiting owners. You're not the benefiting owners for Reindeers. That's intended so that if KP comes forward, that they're required to pay their fair share.
Seeing that.
Their fair share. So ultimately, and we understand this. It's going to be a very expensive process to put in this infrastructure, and ultimately we're undertaking it beyond what we would normally expect. But we've accepted that. Why we're here today is to ensure that we actually have a viable development such that it can support those costs that we're putting in terms of draining our land, the adjacent land, and Reindeers, as well as accommodating the drainage for KP eventually, and putting in the actual road to get Reindeers from Stapon to Peguis. So we're incurring these very, very significant costs, and what we're asking is to be able to actually have a development that can accommodate and be economically feasible.
Any questions?
When this was approved, the zoning was approved with regards to a 25-foot limit. At that time, the public service is indicating 35 feet. But in terms of these buildings that you're requiring, you know, the average commercial building, it seems to be in the range of 28 to 30 feet. This is not including the signage, you know, and the, what do you call this, the architectural
features
and whatnot, but the physical building.
Well, ultimately what we want to have here is something that's not the norm, right? What we're asking for is to be able to look into the future and say, you know, these stores aren't just looking to have you know, a basic ceiling with their sign on them. They're looking to be, you know, and the city's looking towards having more multiple uses. And co-locating, you know, regional offices and grocery stores is a fantastic use, not only because it actually, you know, allows them to better manage their operations, but it also increases the density and increases the amount of rent they're willing to pay, the amount of property taxes that they're going to have. And so to have the opportunity to invite the sort of this interesting mixed use is something that we've, as a company, bought into, something that the city's been pushing us towards, and something that we think would be a positive here.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe while you're here, I'll ask the public service. So in terms of commercial buildings that we typically see on sites like this, putting aside the Pola Park site, you know, what is you're recommending 35 feet, and what is, like, you know, the size in terms of these buildings normally that you find?
Mm-hmm. We did refer to the applicant to inform our recommendation. He cited a number of examples. He cited the superstore at Polo Park, as well as another superstore further west off Portage at School Road. Both those are examples of superstores or grocery stores with a mezzanine above. Just using iView, we measured the building height of the example at Superstore and School Road. You know, minus architectural features, that came in at about 25 feet. Now it's give or take, certainly several feet in terms of accuracy, but it certainly came, so with a 35-foot height limit, that provides room for flexibility, seems to accommodate what they're proposing as well, while still being sensitive to the residential neighbors to the north.
Who supplied these drawings of buildings or these renderings or these pictures?
Those are provided by the applicant. Okay. They're not dimensioned, but, you know, just from the looks of it, I would certainly imagine 35 feet. Again, excluding the architectural features above, 35 feet seems like it would be plenty of room to accommodate it.
What is the height of this Whole Foods that you supplied?
I mean, we're looking at doing something that we haven't done here before.
Okay. No, I hear what you're saying there, but I'm just, like, you know, I'm looking at this other one here, this Nugent Market. There's the architectural features, which is the vaulted entranceway, but the building itself appears to me to be no higher than two stories, which would be 20, 25 feet.
And where we... keeping in mind that we live in Winnipeg, the architectural features, you can only get so much on them. Because if you have snow piling on them, we actually, in Brandon, we had one of our architectural features at a Sobeys fall down into the parking lot because the snow piles against it. So to actually have something interesting here, you can't go so far from the roof.
Right.
So to say just the architectural features is, I mean, it kind of disregards the construction that you have here to safely build interesting architecture.
So where are these pictures from?
They're from, I think, California.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought they might be from Elmwood. But anyway, all right. Okay, all right. There you go. Thank you very much. I don't have any other questions. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to move that the Winnipeg Public Service report be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye. I'm going to move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?